Many of you heard the story of the Valley of Decision. Being in the Valley of Decision, you know what it's like to be here on a Wednesday night, the 29th of December, 3 days away from 2011, a couple of days left in 2010, and this week's all about retrospect 2010 and marching into 2011. But everything really has to do with your choices as a whole and what you know. Listen, a lot of people that don't have the knowledge that they really need to make the choices because of what's coming, what's going on in their lives. Well, let me ask you right now, concerning the choices that you have made in the past, we've talked about these. Are you satisfied? What about regrets? What about redirect? What about starting all over again in some ways? Well, there's good news about the mercy of God being new every single day, and that's the great news we want to bring to you today. In the context, December the 29th, it is a Wednesday night at 6 p.m., and listen, I am ready, and I pray that you are ready for 1 hour of providence, God's providence. And I'm glad to tell you that God seeks the best. He really does. That's Isaiah 48:17. He is the Lord our God, our Redeemer, teaching us what is best, leading us in the way that we should go. Now, with the best of information, knowledge, wisdom, and with the direction given by God, I don't know about you, but I think that's better than a TomTom or a Garmin or any other GPS unit. I think that's better than the crystal ball. I think that's better than the bottle. I think that's better than, far better than remote viewing. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is Shatter Live Broadcast. We're glad to be coming your direction. Listen, I think that during this hour, I really do, the Spirit of God speaks and summons, and the hand of the living Christ goes out. That's right, the living Christ, God, in human flesh, died, rose from the dead, ascended in session, operative on the face of the earth, and coming again. I'm going to see him face to face. If you're a believer in Christ, you shall see the face of God in that glorified, indestructible, immortal body. Listen, it's the physics of God we started to talk about last week. We had three of our nights interrupted, so we're going to do another 1-week-long series on the physics of God, and then I'm going to bring in a week-long series. I have a friend out west, Tim. How you doing, brother? He sent me information about a man named Michael Dodd. And it looks like that he's written a book on, I downloaded it on Kindle. I was reading so much of it last night, I literally half a day behind because of jumping into this subject. He wrote a book called Thank God for Evolution. And let me tell you about spiritual poison. There's a lot of spiritual poison out there that is recognizable, and it doesn't taste good, doesn't look good, but there is also spiritual poison that is lethal, candy-coated, it tastes good. It seems sweet and bright and will kill you just the same. We're going to touch on some of that also in 2011. See, I've been working on the things that have gone on in 2010, and I am working on things that are coming up in 2011. I have so many things on the plates, so many things that I want to get accomplished, that I literally am praying today, Lord, I have to kind of step back and step by step, you know, approach what is necessary, what is needed. And I am grateful, James chapter 1, God gives wisdom generously. And I'm going to seek the wisdom of God in bringing what I need to bring. I'm glad you're here. Listen, all of those in Boulder City, Nevada, those who are listening live by satellite all over and worldwide by the internet and by the thousands by the archives later on. So we greet you in the name of the living Christ. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, who else is the most incredible person that ever walked the face of the earth that's alive right now? Savior, Lord, and God, who is he to you? And if you're reconning the show, welcome. Yeah, I got a CIA story. A couple people sent this to me. It is called The Danger Room. This is out of Wired that's been sent out, I guess, on iPad or whatever. But it's a previous post. Docs detail CIA's Cold War hypnosis push by Spencer Ackerman. And it's in the category of spies, secrecy, and surveillance. Man, that's right up my alley. Yeah, we're going to jump back into our private investigation studies, profiling courses, and everything else here in January. New technology stuff, and see what else we can learn. But going back to this this article, it goes back again to the 50s. And I want to mention, I'm not going to go over the whole thing because it deals with, quote, counterintelligence, benefits of hypnosis are even greater. Now, that's a quote in here concerning the CIA's use of it in context of the Russians' use of it, in context of the Trojan horse given to the Russians, given to the United States. Did you know that the Cold War has behind it a spiritual backdrop that forced nations to spend billions of dollars in weapons development that ultimately will lead to Armageddon and be used by a Theron, a beast on the field? I'll leave it to you to study, because it's not our focus tonight, Revelation 19:19. But here's a quote off this article. Quote, picture this course of action. The memo's author proposes hypnotize a group of loyal Americans to the point of inducing a split personality. Outwardly, they'd appear to be ardent communists who will associate with the communists and learn all the plans of the organization. Every month, CIA agents will contact them, induce a counter-hypnosis, and these Manchurian candidates will spill, well, the information. Meanwhile, the Communist Party meetings on the Lower East Side of Manhattan were open to the public. While admittedly more complicated and more difficult, the agency's hypno-enthusiast wrote, quote, I assure you it will work. Now listen, this goes all the way back to 1955. On all the stuff concerning MKUltra, DID, MPD, SRA, all the rest of it, most all the literature, and we've got probably everything we could possibly get to read on it, it's all 50 years old. What we've got to get a hold of more and more is what is right now. Where is the technology being applied? Now, I've done a little bit of this in a PDF file will come out in addition to the book that we've written, The Black Awakening. And what we're going to do with that is simply tell you the statistics that there has been, was, back in the 50s on the American side, the Russian side, this whole issue of developing those with subpersonalities and everything else. Now, in that process, when the victims began to show up in the 70s and 80s and so forth, to the point that now by the year 2004, some would say 4 million, others by 2010 would say 10 million. Just in America, they didn't count Canada, they didn't count Australia, England, all of Europe, and even Russia, where there are a lot of multiples. A lot of those who have subpersonalities. I mean, there's subpersonalities listening right now, audience. Do you realize there are those who are highly trained, intact, chosen ones? And the subpersonalities are reconning and or listening and or, at times, doing psi warfare or ritual warfare. They don't like all this stuff being told. I'll probably get an email later on saying, you're right, Dizdar. We don't want this stuff being told. Well, here's the issue. God, there's not a single written word in hell's playbook that God doesn't know about, and every intent, everything on. So that's why I got to stay close to listening to God, to the Spirit of God, and looking at biblical, prophetic, oh man, cutting edge, supernatural, infallible, irrevocable, and clearly accurate information about the details of the future. That's where I want to stay close. I really do, and I hope that you do also. So I'm just simply saying all this to say that here's the calculations. First generation Manchurian candidate types that are now 58 years old, around that age group, well, they had children. And almost collectively, unless there's been major interruption and major healing, they had children. And all the counselors, all the psychologists, all the helpers out there, they know that their children are multiple. Sometimes not just one, two or three or four of them are. And then those children who are, what, around 40? They have children. They have children that are around 20. And I'm giving approximate ages. I'm just simply pointing to a third generation. I've engaged those, and we're engaged with the 20-year-olds when it comes to the same thing, multiplicity, all the rest. And guess what? They have children. We're all the way down to children. And just for your information, more are being born in the bloodline, demonized, being dissociated, split for the purpose. And all during this 60 years, they're learning more and more and more and more and more how to do it demonically, horrifically, radically evil, if you can say it better. But here's what nobody really understands. When you calculate the numbers, Canada, Australia, America, England, Europe, Russia, you have no less than 50 million first generation. Even if you dropped it down to 20 million total first generation, what about the second? Now add in another 20 million. What about the third? Another 20. Add in the fourth generation. They're already showing up. Counselors know this. The calculations are off the wall, my friends. So why am I bringing that out? Because we have a lot to say about it here in the future. We have more chapters to the book, The Black Awakening, that we will put up in PDF file. Once again, we're going to do all that we can to have up the hardback book, the large print, all the rest. But, I shared yesterday about some deep friends of ours when I wanted to give the book to a person that came out of this field. I had assumed 2-3 years ago they had been into the information, and at least within this last year, they had already read the book. They looked at me face to face yesterday, before the day before when they left. They literally said, we were afraid to read it. My friend Lynn Marzulli, talking to him the other day, says, I got your book, and I read a few pages, then I set it down, then I go think about it, and I go away, and then I come back to it and read more pages. Okay. Well, here's an email coming in. Not going to share the name. Always will hold your name in privacy. But it's part of this week's series, because I termed 2010, as far as one word to describe the emotional content of 2010, I described it with the word nervous. And then for 2011, I described the coming 2011, one word, expectation. Others have now written in and say, well, you know what, I've described 2010 as angry, or another person said clueless. So thank you for, Patricia and Catherine and Linda and Eric and others that are responding. Because I really think that it's important that we get an assessment, spirit of the age, what's happening in our, and it's all going to be going so quick. So I'm going to read a little bit of an email that came in, and here's what it says. Quote, glad to hear you in the archive this week. Just wanted to send you a note. I agree with, quote, nervous as a word for 2010. And my word for 2010 is started. And for 2011, sobering. Plus, I wanted to comment on your book, The Black Awakening, and the feelings some have had about it. I was scared too and thought I wouldn't get past the first 100 pages. Now I take it to my coffee shop and read it. And I'm nervous about me reading it and people seeing the cover and what they think. LOL. Now listen, I love this. Even the cover will scare you. You know what it is? It's all about dealing with the under the carpet. What's been going on? Well, it's dealing with below MK Ultra, below Phoenix, below Monarch, below all of that. What's really, there's a dark river of disturbance. A dark, lethal river south of heaven, operative, real, prince of the power of the air, secret power of lawlessness, and there's going to be an antichrist going to shake the world with his voice, going to be a new world order, going to be a hellish chaos. And I've only hoped, and I'm going to tell you right now, in writing that book and eventually getting it out, even with the little editing errors that were left in it and not having all the content I wanted in it, I think I would have had 2,000 pages instead of 664. But I want you to know that it cost us the blood and guts of putting out that book. It cost us. Talk about some pain. I'm telling you. But I love this, dear friend, and he's going to probably listen live or listening to the archives tonight. And I want you to know my prayers, and I'm praying Acts 9:22 for you. I'm praying Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9 for everyone listening, and Acts 9:22. Don't be afraid to look at the reality of the dark side and what they've done, what they're doing, and what's coming. If you understand in light of the presence of God and the presence of our call to be what we need to be as believers in Christ in the end of days, we need some great heroes, men and women out there. We need some great individuals that will become great leaders. We need some people out there like you, listen to the Spirit of God now, like you, that will stand immovable, that will wipe away the blood of the past. Did you know that the great evangelist, John Wesley, some sociologists said that because of the revivals and the spiritual impact in Christ by the Spirit of God that John Wesley had in England, that he helped save England, the nation, from social collapse. Spiritual awakening, biblically, Spirit of God, spiritual awakening, brings blessing to a nation. Dark presence brings destabilization. What do you want? Stand there silent while it all comes crashing down? Or do you rush in to do something? I read my friend's email. Now I take it, this book, The Black Awakening, now I take it to my office shop and read it. And I am nervous about me reading it and people seeing the cover and what they think, LOL. But I am cranking through it now and will finish it soon. In parentheses, he has, it's an awesome book. It makes me think of a race in track and field. It takes a lot of hard steps and a run to do it. But it's all about that last step where we cross the finish line. Blessings to you, friend. An end of quote from this email. See, emails like this, I like to save and go back. Read again. I've never met this person face to face. Like many others of you have put this on the, Catherine and others that have, Catherine writes concerning the book, The Black Awakening. She's on her third reading of it. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you right now that in reading it all the way through, I do believe that it brings us to choices. I intended that as I felt led by God in the writing of it. I intended that in the writing, especially in the last fourth segment of that book, Countermeasures. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about evil, radical evil all around you? What are you going to do about lost people dying and going to hell? What are you going to do about your culture being destroyed? What are you going to do about the demonized? I have some brave individuals, I got to write them back tonight, that have written me and that are wanting, they're desperate. They want to come from numerous other states to bring their friends in for deliverance. And I'm going to do all that I can to set that up here shortly. What are your choices right now in this world? Obviously, if you're listening, there's been a choice made. But I'm not going to let you alone. This isn't just about information to stack up and put in the library of our conscience. This is about an engagement you've been prayed for. I've asked the Spirit of God in the name of the living Christ, because of this incredible mission of God, this ultimate supernatural, brilliant mission, this redemptive mission, this passionate mission of God, that none should perish. Because of the promises, because of the, well, because of heaven, because of that cross. You keep looking, listen, believers, you keep looking at that cross again and again and again and again, and pretty soon you surrender your heart and say, Lord, what you've done for me, I will stand up and I will do. There was a man in England years ago, wealthy, everything else, a simple picture of Christ on the cross dying. Here the wealthy man stood looking at the picture of Christ dying on the cross for the sum total of humanity. Do you know the measure? Do you know the depth? Do you know all that it took? Do you know the immensity of the one on the cross, and the cross, and the blood, and the death, and the resurrection, and the ascension, all that it provided, all that it did, and all that it will do? One breath in the new glorified body should cause you to sing. Should cause you to sing about the old rugged cross. One breath in the glorified body is because of the blood and the guts at the cross. And so when I looked at the cross, and I read Hebrews where it tells me to run with perseverance the race marked out, to throw off all things, sins, whatever else that entangles, to look to Jesus, who for the joy before him endured the cross. He scorned its shame. In my own words, I would say he spit at the shame of the cross because of what he was going to do there for you and what it would provide and what the ultimate end was in the future. The angels have not yet seen it. No eye has seen the coming glorified race. And I'm going to tell you again, one breath in that immortal, indestructible, irrevocable new body purchased by the blood of Christ at that cross. Wow. Now that doesn't jazz the believer. Your jazzer is broken. You need to get it fixed quickly. So I thank my friend that has written in this letter about, can I say it again? Plus, I wanted to comment on your book, I'm quoting, The Black Awakening, and the feelings some have about it. And I've heard this again and again and again and again. And this is what it says, quote, I was scared to and thought I wouldn't get past the first 100 pages. Now I take it to my coffee shop and read it and am nervous about me reading it and people seeing the cover and what they think, LOL. Listen, the moment we get empowered a little bit this next year, and it's going to take a little bit to get empowered, we are going to fix those little editing errors. That book will be on Kindle. That book will be out at Barnes & Noble's and be out at Borders and many of those other places, on Amazon, all that kind of stuff. That's what we want. And that's what the goal. But I'm going to tell you, Well, let me stop there. I'm not going to say any more about that. I want to say again, welcome to this night, because you know what we're going to do? In retrospect of 2010, all the alarms, all the concerns, all of the dismantling, all of the globalist stuff, all of the economic... You know what we got right now? Here's three news things in front of me. About 20 minutes from my house last night, there was a major catastrophe. Men that were digging a ditch to put in the pipelines, you know, in Jackson Township, a collapse came. And here's what I found out today. It broke my heart. A son and a father working together in that cold in putting down and laying down that pipe were 15 feet down, you know, all the big machinery around, and there was a collapse. When the rescuers got there, they found the boy, the younger man, buried up to his shoulders, couldn't get out. Where was his father? Somewhere below 15 feet underground and dead. So you never know what's going to happen in life. And it stuns me. I look to my right and see the news thing on here before me, and gas, what, 120 something now, or I'm sorry, 320 something, and then terrorism in Europe again today. Well, listen, let me read again. Someone said, I'm quoting again off the website, someone said that the dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity. What have your dreams been? What have your goals been? Maybe you've been in ministry and you had certain goals and you got crushed and you got beaten. Maybe you've been doing and you got stopped. I guarantee you that the enemy does love to stop young believers that are going forward before they ever really get started. I have met individual believers that after 20 years of sitting and doing nothing, because 20 years prior, they went through a difficult time. Like Simon Peter and the disciples, Satan literally came to beat you and get you out of the game. Out of the mission, out of the battle. Out of the will of God, out of accomplishing. For 20 years, they could have been moving forward, bearing fruit, seeing darkness exposed and crushed, winning souls, seeing healing, seeing deliverance, and becoming stronger and stronger down the road, and having a history of answered prayer and seeing the hand of God. But 20 years ago, something occurred to where they just simply stopped. That's the danger, that if in 2010 something occurred, you just stopped. See, the enemy comes to do things like we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, when the Apostle Paul on a mission trip said, we had planned to come to you, but Satan stopped us. See, as many people are now looking and evaluating 2010 and looking into 2011, getting their new daytimers out and planning what they're going to do, planning what they're going to accomplish, looking what they need to change, all that kind of stuff comes into the equation. For some, it's just about the money. It's just about time. It's just about advantage. A lot of it is selfish. But as believers and in this day and hour that we live in, you're going to have to look at it all in retrospect, and in your marching into 2011, you're going to have to look at it in the context of, yeah, Satan is here to stop real believers accomplishing real things for God. You're going to have to look at that equation. And in the context of decision-making, God's hand, God's presence, God's power, the Word of God, what God has led you into, you don't want to go backwards, and you don't want to stay the same. Acts 9:22 is a message about an individual that gets saved, filled with the Spirit, begins to minister, and continues, and then it simply testifies that individual got more and more powerful. Strength to strength, glory to glory, victory to victory. So that's where we want to say I believe the sweetness and intensity and movement of the Spirit of God will be in your life if you're going to be listening. Because tonight, on this Wednesday, the 29th, it is about, 2010, but also tomorrow, 2011, all in light of 2012. The future is, in a sense, pulling us forward, but you know what? Stopping and taking an assessment, spiritual discernment, spiritual analysis, along with spiritual empowerment. Your faith right now may determine your decisions, and those decisions will move you in one direction or another. The Bible talks about walking in the Spirit or walking in the old sin nature flesh. The world talks about two roads to go by. You know, old Led Zeppelin. So the question that we really need to take into heart and into mind is this. You have one life to live. And I know that I'm speaking to a lot of believers. It's not that I'm ignoring the Satanists, the Luciferians, and the recon folks, and those who are questers. I just want to say a word to believers in Christ. Your life can become a living powerhouse where the grace and the mercy of God, even where miracles... Did you know if you read the book of Acts, all those miracles, all those signs and wonders, all those things that did in the advancement of the cause of Christ came through redeemed, obedient believers. They didn't have them out of thin air. They all, every one of them, even later when it talks about Paul and extraordinary things, miracles. I'm going to tell you again, the church, leadership should listen, should be Holy Spirit, heavenly, God, supernatural from beginning to end. That's what it should, when we gather together, what it's all about. You know, the centrality of the living presence of God in the body, the worship that God inhabits, the praises, and we declare the attributes and the works and the words and the character of God in a fellowship where we feel, even with intensity, the overwhelming good presence of God as we're embraced and as we embrace God. Now, think in terms of the prayers, not 18 seconds of prayer, but 35 minutes and massive intercession and warfare prayer. Could you imagine with all the giftings, with the massive prayer, with the Spirit of God in power, with believers ministering to one another, with the Word of God preached, saving, healing, delivering, and supernatural operating presence of God should be all over the church. Should. And can be. If we give up secular models, boring secular models where Christians are just simply traveling from one church to another church, there's no great major works of God in any cities that do you see it in your city? No, we find people just simply going from one place to another. If there's a church growing, check out whether it's 99% transfer. Anyway. Back down to your choices. Back down to my choices. Now, let me invade your life a little bit. Get a little preachy. Are you satisfied with the choices you've made in 2010? Every choice leads to something. The principle in the book of Galatians that we reap what we sow. If you sow to the old sin nature, the old it says we reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit of God, you reap Zoe, life, the qualitative, living, present life that comes from Christ out of heaven. It's true. So I'm going to say that choices, and maybe some of you have made choices already, and I hope that if they're the wrong choices, to knock you off your chair. And may God wake you up, rattle you out of that direction. If you've already set a course for 2011, or if 2010 was bad, but you're making no choices to change anything, and you're going to go into 2011 and repeat 2010, I pray that you get knocked off your chair, yes, figuratively speaking, I guess, and that God will be speaking into your heart, in your life. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17, he is the Lord, your God, your Redeemer. He's the Holy One who teaches you what is best and leads you in the way you should go. Are you wiser than God? Do you know better than God? Have you chosen a direction? Is it better than God? Have you chosen a relationship that is outside the will of God? Have you chosen a direction that is outside the will of God? Have you chosen an action that silences you and pulls you outside of what it is? Did you know that God has works that were prepared in advance? Can I give you a verse? A word of God? It's in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's workmanship. Listen now, created in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But to do good works. Erge. These are the things that Jesus did. Don't all of a sudden say, well, I'm going to go out in there and do good works. This is in the biblical context of what Jesus did. And those kind of works, well, there is nothing better. Leading people to Christ, number one, if we did a top 10 list of what's most important in the heart of God, what's most important in all of heaven, what do the angels rejoice about? What does all of heaven rejoice about? What does God want? Why did Christ die? Why the cross? That none should perish. That God wills and desires pos anthropos, all humanity, to be saved. And I think that there are those that will say, well, but everybody's a sinner, but everybody's doing wicked, but there's so much evil. That's why the cross, where sin abounds, grace much more. What happened to the cross is much bigger than the collective, gross, filthy, ugly, stupid sin of the world. That's where sin is annihilated. That's where it's taken care of. That's where forgiveness and freedom and empowerment and ultimately, in the glorified body, never again. Never again. So I'm going to ask you again tonight, as we have 20 minutes left, what are your choices? And I want to say that, they're out of this incredible chapter there in Joel 3, a valley of decision. A valley of decision. And I don't know if you've read it or not, but it's the valley of decision that in the context, I believe, of the end of days. Have you read this? Now, if you look at verse 14, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. That all sounds like the prophecy of Joel and what was repeated in Acts chapter 2 and what's repeated in the book of Revelation. Verse 16, the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Let me tell you something. If you think the coming days and the Antichrist is incredible, well, the day of the Lord, a day of doom, that is towards radical evil, a horrific day of doom for radical evil. Radical evil is coming to be judged. Radical evil with the smart judgments of God in the book of Revelation. God is going to strike the radical evil. He's going to bring down the radical evil in the context to save anyone left that wants to turn. And if you're listening and you're not saved, two things. God wills and wants you to be, and without that salvation, you'll never see friendly the face of God. Never will. You'll be shut out. You read about it. I give this to those listening that don't know Christ, to even hardcore individuals that only listen so that they can counter what we do. Well, take a look. First chapter, 2 Thessalonians. You take a look. I'm not going to read it for you. I'm reading out of Joel the prophet. I'm reading a book that's probably about 2,300 years old, whose words are alive, and these words speak to the hearts and lives of you and anyone that hears them right now about the future, about your life. And the assessment is this picture, not only of the past, but the picture of God's engagement with multitudes. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. You know what's in the context? The day of the Lord is near. An engagement. What side of the fence are you on? An engagement. Where are you with your life? An engagement. Have you listened to the voice, the kind, calling, summoning voice of the Spirit of the Lord? Have you listened? Have you listened? I want to bring in 5 points tonight concerning choices. Just before I do, so listen, believers, here's two good things. The book of Proverbs, you know, about knowledge and wisdom that brings about discipline, discernment. You want discernment? You want to know about making choices? You want to know about wisdom? The book of Proverbs. There is no higher level anywhere in existence of living words written down to teach us wisdom. In the context of a relationship with God and a good outcome in our lives. It even brings about the prolonging life. It really does. It involves the healing and of our bones. It really does. Proverbs, wisdom. And then the book of Psalms. You ever notice the psalm writers, all of them engaging, not New Age energies, not the new concept of an evolutionary universe. Man, I got a new set of series to bring out concerning this new evolutionary agenda that's out that has now been a counterfeit to the gospel. The evolving universe and exchanging the glory of God for creation. You know, sometimes I think creation, if it could, would reach out, slap, or grab a hold of those who are worshiping it and say, stop it. We worship God. We're here by the hand of God. We point to God. Book of Psalms, all about, at times, the troubles we go through, the difficulties we go through, God's intervention. I love Psalm 34, where the writer says, I sought the Lord. And he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Now, that's the relationship we have. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Can I ask you a question? Do you think you got all the things, all the grace, all the things? Do you think it's over, that there's no more grace, no more interaction, no more answers, no more of God putting into you? Well, then take that thought right out of the top of your head and throw it in the trash. Get back to the Word of God that says mercies are new every day. Get back to the Word of God that says that He can answer you and deliver you and free you from fears. Get back to where this restoring, reviving, renewing work of the living Christ can occur. When you don't understand, well, don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on to your own understanding. You know, acknowledge the Lord. You know, give your life, surrender it all to Him. Trust God as you step out, and He can make paths straight. He becomes operative in the believer's life. Now, I want to make it very clear that if you're going to live in unbelief, you're going to live, you know, you're going to live stuck in time. You'll watch everybody else get the answers and blessings and joy and things and all that and accomplishments, and there you are, stuck. Because way back then, you got into an engagement with the enemy, whatever it was, or you failed in some way, and you never looked to the grace of God, and you just got stuck. You say in your own head, though you're wrong, you're a second-class Christian, you can't do anything right, you can't serve the Lord, you failed too big, nothing's going to work. Lies, 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 in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that, commanding it to be broke. Take the arrows out of your head. Ephesians 6, take those arrows that have been sent. Identify them. Break them in the name of Jesus. Cling to the Word of God. Make choices now. A choice to stand back up and say, Lord, Your mercy is new every day. Cleanse me, wash me, renew me, refill me. I want to launch out. I want to accomplish. I want to serve. I want to be in the mission. I want to do the works that You prepared in advance for me to do. I want to be a part of Your cause. Let me say to politicians, to military men and women, let me say to business individuals, no matter what your, quote, career is, there is no greater cause on the earth than the mission of God, and whatever your career is can be the platform by which God uses you there for His mission, reaching the world for Christ, using the authority of God in Christ and prayer to bring about exposure and destruction to the work of the dark side, bringing influence by your life and lifestyle in Christ to everything around you. We can either sit back and let those who live the river of disturbance that runs from Hell's Kitchen, we can go with them influencing the laws of the land, writing the new laws on the books, changing everything, only opening the mouth of America wider to the work of the dark side, making a larger platform for Satan, or a larger platform for God. America, Russia, England, France, come on. What do you want your nation to do? Open up to the dark side in these end of days? Or broaden, humbling yourself, and simply saying, there is no higher will, mission, and no other place where God unleashes extraordinary work, miracles, let alone the fact the Spirit of God has gone out in all the world to convince, to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Oh, there is a payday someday. I say all of this in light of choices right now, the valley of decision. On the one hand, as believers, you and I can either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. We can have the choices that we want to make or have already made, all based on, well, past failures, past things. Listen, choices made dealing with lack of knowledge. Some people just want to go blindly through, and all they want to do is avoid trouble, and if they can squeak through another week avoiding trouble and then hide out, they think they've done good. I hear the word chicken. Listen, can I tell you something? A believer that is a chicken that is completely ensnared by fear. You know, in Proverbs it says that fear of man is a snare. You know that 1 John tells us that in perfect love, you know, perfect love drives out fear. You know that fear has to do with punishment. Perfect love does not. And you know that fear can inhibit you from making the right choices. And if you're saying, well, I'm not making any choices, my friend, that is the worst choice. Choice not to do anything is a choice to stay stuck. It's a choice as a believer to say, you know what? I cannot allow the fire of the Spirit of God to operate through me. I cannot allow my life to be used to win 100 people to Christ. I cannot allow my life to be used to exhibit the authority of Christ in bringing down dark side presence. Is that what you really want? We got 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Have you made any choices yet? If the Spirit of God is stinging you, good. I love it when he does it to me. To weed out the stuff in our lives that brings hindrance and occupies the place God not only wants, but that he should have. Choices. Let me give you five principles in the midst of choices. Number one, awareness. Awareness. Awareness of, the will of God, the promises of God, the work of the Spirit of God in your life. I mean, listen, are you aware of the Word of God as a believer, let alone prophetic revelation, the end of days, where we are in the prophetic timetable? If we are that close to the rise of the Antichrist, it means that we are that close to multinational chaos, catastrophic collapse. America will not be what it was. Europe will not be what it was. The most devastating collapse in human history, an event, the Black Awakening. The rebellion, the revolt. And with that, the unprecedented unleashing of dark presence. And with that, the eventual rise of the Antichrist, the Apocalypse Anthropos Anamos. So, in the context of all of what's going on, your awareness of things, and if you feel urgency, good. That's important. I think the hour is an urgent hour. Are you aware of everything coming down, going down? What's going on in your neighborhood? What's going on in your children's school? What's going on in your family life? What's going on in your nation? But awareness isn't good enough. Awareness is good because it does move to help us know then how to. And I want to say a great content of the Word of God, prophetic revelation, the Holy Spirit's leading, what God's will is. Now, number two in making your choice is that God gives what is best. Now, you could read it in Romans chapter 12 if you want, where it talks about the will of God is good, pleasing, and perfect. And that we are called, in view of the mercy of God, to surrender our entire beings, to literally offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Let me give you a quick word. An Indian goes to church. Big old Indian goes to church. It's time for the offering, and the offering and ushers come by, and they have the offering plate, and they come by the Indian, and they hand out the offering plate. The Indian stands there with his arms crossed and says, "Lower it." The Indian, looking at the usher lowers the offering plate, and the Indian says again, "Lower it." And the usher lowers the offering plate a little lower, about waist high, and waiting for the Indian looks over again and says, "Lower it." And the usher got frustrated and put it on the ground. The Indian stepped into the offering plate. Romans 12, my friend. Offer yourselves a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Spirit of God. Don't be conformed to the patterns of the world any longer. Aren't you tired of it? God's best. Thirdly, correction that brings direction. When you're into the Word of God, listening to the Spirit of God, even listening to individuals, you always got to be discerning and even at times testing the spirits. But if God is speaking through his word and through others and so forth to you, and it deals with correction, you know what? That is a good thing. If you're going down a street and it's one way. And others are beginning to yell at you and say, you're going the wrong way. Do you get mad at them? The Spirit of God may be saying, listen, some of the 2010 choices and direction, wrong way. Wake up now. Let me give you the direction. Isaiah 48:17. The Lord, your God, your Redeemer, teaches you what is best and leads you in the way you should go. I'm going to follow God. I want to see this life do more. There is nothing higher. Number four. What about restoration? What about renewal? What about God bringing healing? What about 2010? And Lord, all the things, whether they're failures or episodes or family relationships, all the things that occurred that either weakened me. I want to be Psalm 139. Search me, O God, see, you know, what's in my life that needs to be repaired, changed, healed, helped. I pray that God will do this, and I know that He does. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. God can bring renewal and help and restoration in your life, a new fire. Let Him do that. Number five, making a choice right now determines literally a course for the week, for the day. If right now, under the presence of the Spirit of God, the Word of God, you make choices, no more fear. I'm standing up to surrender to God and yield to Him. Guess what? The Spirit of God's going to love that. Your life's going to open up to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and you're going to launch out, and you will grow more and more powerful. Christians, the only way you're going to grow more and more powerful, Acts 9:22, is by the grace and the mercy and the power of God and the salvation you've received by faith gets put into practice. If you read the Word of God and do nothing, James 1 says, God says, you deceive yourself. If you put it into practice, you're blessed. You become stronger. You become bolder. You become more empowered. Doing it again and again and again and again and again. Guess who's there to help you? Jesus said these words, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's right. But the choice you make right now determines, you know, the direction. What direction are you pointed in? God's mission, God's grace, God's will, in light of the knowledge of God and the wisdom of God, great accomplishments, heaven backing your life. It's where you want to be. Music is here, my friends, and I've got to close down. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We need you to remember us in prayer. Remember us, please, in support. We love you. See you Thursday night. Good night.